that we know that when you tabernacled here in flesh upon the earth, you were not recognized by the majority of people, in fact, very, very tiny minority, and also rejected by that vast majority and spurned and cast aside because of your words which you spoke through the humanist mentality of that particular time, your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now today, as with every prophet and with him, the great prophet, the entire prophet, we have the same thing in this hour. People are turning you away because they, though they see, they do not hear, and they therefore do not understand. Otherwise, they'd be converted. And now we know, Lord, that judgment is sealed upon the earth, but we're very happy this morning to know you love us because we have been predestinated through this place to see and to hear and to understand and grow up as part of that great harvest and manifesting whatever you want in our lives, Lord. We pray that we'll be truly obedient to the faith, always hungry for the word of God, that we may always thirst for it and find our thirst quenched in this message and all our satisfaction there. And grow fat as the calves in the stall, as the scripture said, as you come to take us home. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're in number 21, and since it is only about 14 hours ago that we were reading from and speaking from leadership, we do not need to recap except to say that Brother Branham, having spoken about the rich young ruler refusing God in person and in the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the word, showed that the so-called Christian church was now doing the very same thing in this hour. And they have not only done that, but are doing it, and they're coming to a place of full harvest, which, of course, God will rid the earth of them by fire, cleansing the earth. And, of course, he will also purge the church, purge Israel. Then, proceeding from the understanding that all have the choice, like the young man, to receive or reject, he spoke on another choice, which had to do with conduct. First of all, you have the choice to receive or reject. The next thing is your conduct. After he dealt with that, but not finally, he spoke more of it later, he went on to the choice that men usually make, which is the choosing of a wife. And naturally, if the man is a real man, he will choose God and then choose a wife by her conduct. For most time, actions speak louder than words. As Brother Branham said, that the voice what's in your heart speaks louder than in heaven and your voice on earth. Describing the woman, a man ought not to choose, we surely can see that the bride of Christ will not engage in any conduct that dishonors the word as it is set forth. So thus far we have heard him describe the two choices, both of which are either acceptable or unacceptable, depending on the person. One's altogether unacceptable to God, and the other is acceptable. And denouncing men's creeds and dogmas and women's dress, we have an exact picture of the age as set forth by John in Revelation 3:14-21, but in Brother Branham's own words, as the 20th century prophet, giving us the true picture of Revelation 3:14-21 for this hour. When he is through as God's mouthpiece in declaring what should be their true spirituality and relationship with God, he now tells his story to illustrate what it should really be like if they are indeed children of the King. And so we just start reading there where we left off in paragraph 184. Now, Brother Branham has said in paragraph 183, he's telling that the men who are supposed to be the leaders and the head of the family, head of the house and so on, they've turned away from the truth to creeds and dogmas, and the women have shown it by their dress and by their attitudes, and that's the church. Therefore, the church is entirely turned away from her headship, which is Christ the Word. And this, of course, is truly irresponsible conduct. So Brother Branham said, as I said last night, a king one time, and then down in the south, they had this colored man who was sold for a slave. Why, it was just like a used car market. You get a bit of sales on them. And I was alarmed. A little place I read one day where a broker came along to buy some. And he said, well, now... And Brother Brand's very disjointed here. You just have to go along with this. They were sad, those slaves. You had to whip them, make them work because they were so far away from home. They were sold as slaves, not just as laborers and workers. They were in a foreign country they knew nothing about. They never would be back home again. They were sad. You had to whip them to make them work. But this broker came by a certain plantation, one young fellow there with his chest out, his chin up. You didn't have to whip him. He was right up, and he kept the morals. I think he meant the morale of the rest of them up. And the broker said, I'll buy him. And the owner said, he's not for sale. Not going to sell him. You aren't going to buy him because he simply is not for sale. He said, well, what makes him so different? Is he the boss over the rest of them? He said, no, he's not the boss. Do you feed him different? No. He's just a slave. He's like the rest of them in the galley. What makes him so different? And he said, I wondered myself till I found out over in Africa where they came from, where the Boers bought them and brought them over here and sold them for slaves. Over there, his father is the king of the tribe. And yet an alien away from home, he knows he's the son of the king, so he conducts himself that way. What a rebuke to Christianity. We're supposed to represent God and eternal life. There's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. He alone has eternal life, and we are products of Him because we are genes of His Spirit. Then we should conduct ourselves, men and women, like the Bible said for us to do. Not Jezebels of the street and Rickies of the organization, but Christian gentlemen, sons and daughters of God, born of the Spirit of God, manifesting the light in our days and scattering it. That's exactly right. And you notice Brother Branham instantly goes back to conduct. He cannot seem to leave this alone. Now, he said, what a rebuke to Christianity. And, you know, Paul the Apostle rebuked the Jews. And you go to the book of Romans, and the second chapter in verse 14, it says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these things... doing by nature things contain the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. Now, it's a very confused situation Paul is talking about, but the thought that I have here is one that I've seen through many, many years, that many times God has a witness against the very people that should be called His own, who call themselves His own, but they do not even begin to line up with what God has set forth in His Word and what should be in their distinctive natures, because their soul has come from God. And Brother Branham said that the soul is the nature of the Spirit, giving it an atmosphere. Now, the soul cannot be the nature of the Spirit, then it would not exist. The soul could not exist because the nature of itself does not exist. There must be something prior to it or substanding it from which it comes. You say the nature of this rose is that it loves water, but doesn't love water sprayed on its leaves. You have to feed it from underneath through the roots. And you say, I like a cat. It's nature. It hates to jump into water. Very few cats ever jump into water unless it's very dangerous. Form, the cat may jump in then. Dogs love to jump into water. So you cannot say for 1 minute that the soul is the nature of the Spirit, because that would make the Spirit everything and the soul merely that which comes out of it because of what is in the Spirit. That is not true. When Brother Branham said giving it an atmosphere, he was telling you that that soul will give an atmosphere to your spirit. In other words, the soul is literally in control. Therefore, he said, you have within your soul only one real thing, and that is the power of choice. And you can decide for or against God. Now, right here, these Gentiles are rebuked to Israel. So therefore now, the world is actually a rebuke to the so-called Christians, the Laodicean Christians, the Pentecostal chaff. Because as I said the other night when we went over in Greece and the islands, the sign on the Orthodox church door was, "Ladies, please do not come in slacks and in halters and shorts. Honor the Lord and the dead." And you can see also when Paul spoke of women cutting their hair, he said, "Does not nature tell you that it's unseemly for woman to cut her hair?" And you will find that since that hair is given to her for her covering, it pertains to her sexuality. That's right. Even as a woman cannot wear clothes that pertain to a man, that pertains to his sexuality, his maleness. Now, I used to make a test when I went on the road years ago, and I never found any man except one man who believed that women were more feminine and showed forth their true sexuality. I'm not talking about intercourse. I'm talking about true sexuality and their sensitivity to their femininity. But didn't long hair appeal to the men in that particular way that they judged that they were more feminine? Only had one man ever raise his hand that he liked short hair. And that man is the man that followed Laurie, who proclaimed himself Son of Man on Moon Landing Day and all these goofy things that went on. Took them over to India there, and the first thing he gave them all these foreign goofy names. And he wrote history like crazy. I read some of his junk just to sort of get into it, you know, see what the world's going on. And I threw it in the garbage very post-hastily. But you see what we see here, there is a witness against the church at that particular time, which was Israel, in rejecting Christ. Now, the rejection of Christ and his word is seen in the women's dress. Now, we'll talk about this more as we go along, but I just wanted to bring this to you, that God always has a witness regardless. Now, there's a witness in the heavens, there's a witness in the earth, there's a witness amongst people. And these people at the end time, who truly call themselves born again, full of the Holy Ghost, the elect bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, are actually chaffed for the burning, and there is a witness against them. And you'll see witnesses all over the country. Absolutely, you'll find people that are no more on the word than nothing. Like we got the Amish and the Mennonites, they, after all, they invented God. Because where was God before they had their silly black hats and their uniforms? I'm serious. I want to know. It's not just a facetious remark. You show me. You show me where their old-time Simon Menno actually put his complete faith in clothes. The Salvation Army does the same thing. And yet they are a rebuke to the people. They're a positive rebuke to the people of the last day. And remember how it was that Brother Branham said that he had a vision concerning the Trinitarian Church. And she was a dolled-up woman with a short, permanent wave hair. And she had on short skirts and high heel slippers. And, man, she was jazzed up to the eyebrows. And Brother Branham was standing there talking to her, trying to give her the word of the hour. And Mr. Devil came by, the little slick mustachio curled up at the end, which is the right amount of mustache wax. His hair slicked back. And, oh, he was a city slicker. And he came by and he whistled and winked at her, and man, she was gone like a shot. Well, the next thing along comes Miss Oneness, and she isn't quite so pretty. She's a little more dowdy in a sense of the word. Well, the first one wasn't dowdy, as the world calls dowdy. This one had on longer skirts and longer hair. She had what looked like might be a little more of the word of God in her. And don't you know, he was talking with her, and for a minute she pricked her ears up. Of course, you know, Brother Branham did understand oneness of the Godhead, not according to Jesus only, but according to the Scripture. And they were engaged in a conversation. Pretty soon Mr. World came by again, slick down greaser that he was, slick cunning old devil, and he winked at her and whistled at her. And soon as he caught her eye, she began jazzing off, but she turned and gave one look and then went on. So you see, there's a witness out here in the world. These people, they're way back there in literally the dark ages of Scripture. It is very strange. It's very strange today that the Roman Catholic Church, which received the condemnation of Almighty God, that surely he will go to the lake of fire, actually shows these Pentecostals something they actually don't even know of. in the world also. What a rebuke to Christianity. We're supposed to represent God and eternal life, or even eternal life. There's only one form of eternal life, that's God. He alone has eternal life. And you can use two verbs here. You can say he alone is eternal life, and he alone has eternal life, because he alone is eternal life. And if he has not given you a part of him, through natural election, via Adam, into whom he breathed the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul, showing you that the propagation of soul would come by the living person, Adam, and every male. For Brother Branham said, you were in God, a part of God. He said, you were in your Father. Now you make up your mind. You can be stupid. You do what you want. You can blank out. You like those preachers who say, well, it's the soul's out here somewhere. And tell me when Brother Branham said it. He said just opposite. He said the spirit was out there waiting for the body. Yeah. Wasn't the spirit of Adam waiting for a body? And didn't God put him in a body? Huh? And at the same time breathe in his nostrils the breath of life. So there'd be the propagation of God's children down here. Of course, they came the wrong way. We'll look at that after a little bit. We have time. We'll see that too. All right, he alone is eternal life. He alone has eternal life. And we are products of his, or a product of him. We are children of him. Because we are genes of his spirit. Then we should conduct ourselves, men and women, like the Bible said for us to do, not Jezebels of the street. Now he's talking again, the women representing the church and the Rickies of organization. And don't you know, at the end time, the preachers heaped in themselves, the teachers rather, heaped in themselves, the church heaped themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, what the church wants to hear, they'll pay the preachers to produce it for them. But there's always got to be witness somewhere, and there is. And the Rickies of organization, the rats of organization, they're those that are the presidents and the elders and so on of organization, the clubs that Brother Branham spoke of. But Christian gentlemen, sons and daughters of God, born of the Spirit of God, manifesting the light in our days and scattering it. Now, of course, what you're doing, you're noticing right here that Brother Branham alone could stand for the true manifestation of the light. In other words, he was sent to God, became God to the people, and brought the truth. Now, the people manifest in this particular area. The men representing the leadership must leave every creed and doctrine, every dogma. And Brother Branham came as John the Baptist to make ready the prepared people. And John the Baptist opened their understanding. That's over there in the first chapter of the book of Luke, when he went before the Most High God in the spirit and power of Elijah. That's a very simple, outstanding statement. That's exactly what happened. He went before the Lord God of Israel when God came into the body of Jesus Christ, and he preceded that. And he told the people, there's that one coming. He laid it all out. And he said, the one upon whom you see the Spirit of God descending and remaining, that one is the Son of God. And he said, I beheld that. And his job was to make ready the prepared people by opening their understanding. Their disobedience to the word was not that they were disobeying the word. They didn't understand it. Like the rich young man, he never disobeyed that word. He said, all the commandments I've kept. Every moral issue, I've done it. You see? But that wasn't it. He didn't understand. He didn't have an understanding. And that's where the spirit of revelation wisdom comes into the church at the last time to give us the understanding. And Brother Branham said, how do you get ready? You get ready by never, ever saying the creeds and the dogmas. See, now you can get people just like my mother was. My mother used to pray and pray, and she prayed these big long prayers that were already conjured up for her and put through the printing press. It was all right, I guess. I mean, Then one day she began to have her mind open a little bit to the Scripture. And it came across the fact that the Apostles' Creed was not in the Bible. Now, Mother was not a very spiritual person. So as soon as she found out that she'd been reciting the Apostles' Creed all these years and praying, well, how could she be wrong? I thought, well, how could the woman ever be right? I lived with her. She never had insight. She had insight into some things like healing, prayer and different things, morality, but no understanding. And you got people right today coming, well, how can I be wrong? How can I be wrong? How can I be wrong? Merciful God, all my life I've wondered, how could I be right? The rightness is in Him. Like Jesus said, why callest thou me good? What do you think I got about me to recommend myself? There is only one good, that is God. Now that was Jesus' personal response, not God speaking in Him. So surely those words came from God, because there's one God. He's got an only begotten Son. And if Jesus would have had some said one thing different from God, He would have betrayed His birthright of dividing and sharing everything His Father had equally. He would have stepped over the line and said, I want 10% more. Let me tell you something. Before you even speak of Father, you better speak of God. Father indicates too much of the chum idea with me. Too much of the peer business. Too much of the pal. Yeah. When you talk of God as your Father, you talk of sovereignty.
Amen.
You talk of obedience. You talk of sharing. You talk of training. You talk of coming to maturity and adoption. You don't talk of anything as though you of yourself had something, as though you caused your birth and you picked your parents. Now you're able to tell them something. No. Don't ever talk of Father before you say God. And you're talking sovereignty. You're talking reality and truth. And Brother Branham said, in our day, the light was manifested. We are to manifest it by our clothing, getting ready. Remember, the bride is dressed, all beautiful within and without. She's been washed in the waters of separation. And he says, scattering it. Scattering what? The gospel for this hour. Like he spoke on end-time evangelism. The man sitting in the congregation going to Africa, I don't believe had one clue. I'm not saying he wasn't sincere. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, even praying and trying to understand that there is one God. As far as I know, from the letter he wrote to my wife denying Brother Branham and that ministry, he said he was a Trinitarian before he met Brother Branham, and I believe he died a Trinitarian. That's idolatry. You say what you want. And I'm going to tell you something. If everybody gets in Noah's Ark, she ain't going to float. Yeah, she ain't going to float.
That's right.
Somebody's way off balance. But how far we've drifted from it. The conduct. The manifestation. The truth of the gospel. How far? We've had 2,000 years of drifting. It started under Paul. When he said, even now these evil men have risen up with another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. How far we've drifted from it. Now remember, Jesus came back to put everything in perspective and order, to fulfill all the scripture. How far we've drifted from it. Why? The same thing this boy did here. He rejected. He refused eternal life. Now notice, he didn't just reject it, you know, shrug it off. Refused it. Came against it. He didn't only just say, well, I don't know if I can accept that. Let me tell you something. It isn't right. What that man said is right. He was one of those who said, my fathers ate manna in the wilderness. What are you going to show us? They wanted socialism, which the key is everybody feeds each other. And that's strange America. The Frenchman said, what a strange country America. Everybody pays everybody's bills. Else's bills. Some taxpayers are stuck in the middle. They can't pay their bills and have their home because they got to give it away to those who won't work. Those have illegitimate children by the thousands. Who think society owes them something. And parents so foolish to going on to propagate a world and populate a world with that type of thinker. He's not human, because animals work. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her days and be wise. Remember the little poem of the cricket and the ant? The cricket fiddled all summer, laid up nothing. When he came to the ant, who had worked diligently. He said, I'd like to have some of your food. He said, why didn't you work instead of just singing, playing in the orchestra? Very strange, isn't it? We've drifted from it. Rejected, refused eternal life because it would cost him his social standing. It had cost him his the luxury which he got out of his money. It had cost him his fellowship in the church. It had cost him a lot of things. He knew what it was going to cost him. He was a sensible boy. He could add two and two and get four. And he felt he couldn't pay the price yet. He thought, I'll just trust my religion and go on. See, he didn't know the life had gone out of it. That's what happened when Brother Branham came on the scene. The life went out of it. You know that two people died almost together when Brother Branham came on the scene in 1946? The woman and the man. The famous woman was Amy Semple McPherson. And the great Pentecostal was Charles S. Price. Yet the Foursquare looked back to Amy. The full gospel businessman, the head man is dead now. He took Charles S. Price over the living prophet William Branham. I knew both of them. Let me tell you this. There's my neighbor, who is a business manager of Dr. Charles Price, said to me when I said, how do you feel that General Booth that you knew, and you were his aide-de-camp when he was in Canada, how do you feel Price and Booth stack up with each other? He said, I'll put it this way, I tell everybody. General Booth was the only man fit to shine Dr. Price's shoes. Let me tell you this knowing. Both Dr. Price and William Branham. It is my estimation, having known both, that the best Charles Price could have done was pour water on the hands of Elijah, which simply means, this is the man that I turn to, the man that I'll serve, the man that knows and has what I do not have. I believe that Charles Price was the true seed of Almighty God. He had to be taken off the scene. But Pentecost still goes back to Charles Price and those that believe that tongues is the evidence when tongues is merely a gift. And there is no scripture to back. In fact, the scripture distinctly says that the Holy Spirit is here to lead you into truth. And the question comes, what is truth? And in this hour, it can only be that which is vindicated, because judgment is upon the land. Cost him his church. Cost him a lot of things. He's a sensible boy. I'll just trust my religion, but it won't work. But down in his heart, he knew there was something about Jesus which was different from those priests of that day. I used to go to these meetings where the full gossip businessmen, where I didn't go to too many. I enjoyed the Fall de Raw, stuff like that. See, just see what's going on. And I had not made a commitment to Brother Branham. The word is I would later on. And I would go there. We noticed one thing. that if Oral Roberts was there, he was walking up the corridors alone. Where William Branham was, it was like bees and flies around honey. Did that mean they gravitated toward him because they actually believed him in contradistinction to Oral Roberts? No, no, no. They believed Oral Roberts. But they knew that William Branham had something they didn't have, which was thus saith the Lord, and a gift of healing, which under the anointing of God he could produce a diagnosis and at the same time an instant cure. And we're all looking for a diagnosis that cures us, aren't we? Without going through the prognosis and the work that it entails. And they knew William Branham had something, but they did not believe him. And my question is this. Is there any way they could have believed him in the light of Scripture? The answer is radically no. Categorically no. In their hearts, down deep, they knew there was something about William Branham. They're different from the priests of that day. And any message that comes in, a genuine born of God message is different from the old trend. Now, you understand, of course, that this is very difficult to take. You understand it's difficult to take because this book declares in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, the concluding book of the Bible, you cannot add a word, you cannot take a word. So instantaneously when you talk about another message, it doesn't strike the people as it ought to strike them. Because they've seen through history the reformers and those that brought a certain amount of truth, which truth was as that water upon the sea, indeed it was, to bring forth the life within the vessel and change the vessel so that his conduct and his ways and his life would harmonize with the Scripture to such an extent that you saw literally revolutions take place in lives of people because of the zeal and the power that lay in the messages of those that brought forth that light. But nobody believed. Let me get it again. Nobody believed. I've read no books on it. I have not looked recently, and I'm not going to look. But the theologians and the people have not believed in the restoration of Elijah, which would mean to restore the Word, because they said, we have the Word. It doesn't need restoring. It only needs believing. And in there, they leave it to themselves to understand what believing is, which Brother Branham said is a true revelation, which is the passive faith we talk about, that which is truly correct. Now you take the Catholics, and I'm not fussing at the Catholics, because I'm going to tell you, Monsignor Knox, in translating the Bible, his in translation in the book of Acts is so thrilling. It's like reading almost a Wild West story. The King James Version is flat alongside of Monsignor Knox's translation. It is so vivid and so bright, it sparkles. And yet when he goes to the book of 1 Corinthians and he speaks of the fire trying every man's work, he pleads a Roman Catholic case of purgatory. There is no purgatory. The purging is here and now. The next step is not purging, except of the church when the foolish virgin die and give their lives. Monsignor Knox refused to believe the truth, though he interpreted this Bible, rather translated it. There is no place where you can find purgatory. After death, the judgment. And after judgment, the lake of fire or the eternal city. It didn't matter that Monsignor Knox was a brilliant student. There was no understanding. Because like this person here, there is no way that ruler, because a Monsignor is and a cardinal a ruler. They take the Scripture, rule my people, rule my people, rule my people. They do with a hard hand. Let me tell you something. The Jesus-only people, in my understanding, what I've seen, are harder than the Roman Catholics. Ninety-five 95% of the Branhamites have turned oneness. Turn oneness. Any message that comes. So I'm preaching the message, they say. To understand that Paul's gospel is the basic. Most understand it was written to the Gentiles. Most people understand there are seven Gentile church ages. But when it comes to seven messages and they're there before them, they recognize it only hazily by virtue of the fact they're going down the road and they recognize that the neighboring field has corn on the right side and the left hand has soybean. In other words, they know they're there. What's the cornfield and the soybean field to them? Nothing. Nothing. And the next thing, they're like the harlot that commits adultery. No problem. Bible said, like eating a piece of bread and it might be your mouth. All part of the day. No problem. The Bible said they become past feeling. Their conscience seared with a hot iron. And it's strange, the conscience seared with a hot iron, and yet the people are lukewarm. Why are they lukewarm? Because the conscience is seared with a hot iron. This boy gave up his conscience, only to get it back in dire circumstances. When as an old man, he lifted up his eyes in hell and repented, but it was too late. And then he got full of compassion. And he said, somebody help my brothers. Wouldn't it be awful for you to wake up in hell to find compassion there? You turned it down here. Compassion, Brother Branham said, is doing the word of God. That's his will is in his word. He turned the word down. He had everything there to receive. Turned it down flat. Yeah, he didn't spread the good word, no. He turned on the good word. What do you say we go to the book of Hebrews just a minute here? We go to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and that's about the high priest. What happens when he's the high priest? When he's the high priest, there's no more sacrifice because the high priest was the sacrifice. Now he comes to mediate and intercede concerning his accomplished work before God, called the satisfaction of God. And he said, a new covenant I'll make, I'll put my laws in their hearts and their minds. I will write them. Even in their minds, see? Got to come by the mind. Your sin that I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, entered the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus. And Brother Branham said, at one time was death to go behind the veil, now it's death not to go behind the veil. By a new living way which is consecrated for us through the veil, that's to say his flesh. He made this by his flesh. Hey. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw nigh with a true heart and full assurance. That's what Abraham had, a faith. Took him 25 years to get there. It's the last church age we get there. And our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Boy, this guy had a seared conscience. He'd been better off if he had no conscience, evidently. And our bodies washed with pure water and lust. Let us hold fast the confession. That word is confession, which means to say the same thing as. Huh? Our faith without wavering. For faithful is he that promised. Now that goes on to the 12th chapter, doesn't it? Because he's going right on through. And in the 12th chapter, it says over in verse 22, 20, rather 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Who's speaking? Mediator, the one that gets you in. Intercessor keeps you in. He accomplished it all. Don't refuse him. For if they escape not or refuse him that spoke on earth, refuse God back there in Sinai, refuse God in the form of Jesus Christ in the human body, whose voice then shook the earth, and it did, there's earthquakes, everything else, who said, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but heaven. You know that this message actually shakes heaven? Huh? Certainly it does. This is a message of judgment. Left hand, right hand. Yet once more signifies removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, man-made creeds and dogmas. But those things which cannot be shaken remain. The word of God can't be shaken. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Huh? Let's have grace whereby we may serve God, except reverence and godly fear, for our God's a consuming fire. When's God's a consuming fire? Only at the end time. Huh? When he shall come with his angels in flames of fire. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Malachi, the 4th chapter, the wind up. Huh? All right, let's go back now to what I was reading in the 10th chapter, and I want to show you something here. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith. What confession? The confession of the high priest? The one from heaven speaking now. Okay. That's in this hour. He's still the high priest. He's got a confession. He only says what God says. Now, it's very strange that there's a big preacher down south got him comatose. Now, if you're talking when you're comatose, what do you do? You're raving. You're sick. You're out of your mind. And I thought when you're full of the Holy Spirit, when God gave us the Spirit, it was not of fear, but of courage and love and a sound mind. I don't know anything different from that. So I really don't know what preachers are preaching these days. I can't preach what they preach. It's too foreign to me. There's only one gospel. And this gospel has to be vindicated at the end time, because Paul's was vindicated the first time. There's no theologian that does not admit, absolutely categorically admit, that Paul was vindicated. But now they say, well, Paul was vindicated, we got it. Yet Paul said, they're missing it already. They can't read that. That means everybody but them. What are they talking about? It's terrible. Any message that comes in, a genuine born message of God, is different from the old trend. As Brother Branham said, why would God vindicate a tired, worn-out old message? It had its day. When a divine healing went forth not long ago, did you notice how the impersonators followed it? When a divine healing went forth. Now, let's just check this out. 1946, the angel of God came and said to William Branham, I have been sent from the presence of the Most High God to give you a gift of healing to take to the world. And he said, if you don't believe, he said, not even cancer will stand before you. And that man proved that he had power, actually, an authority over the souls of all men by the presence of God, the same as Jesus, Because when he took every spirit in control, he was talking about human beings. He didn't worry about little old devil spirits hanging around. He had them under his thumb already. And he could prove it by reading every man's soul, his mind, his heart, his record. Gifted healing opened the door to that. Now, if you believe that Paul vindicated could open the Old Testament and make it live, is there any difference between William Branham, a vindicated messenger, a prophet, if indeed he is, to not do the same thing? Now, Peter was preaching at Pentecost under the anointing of God, and then he preached a few days later to the same people in Acts, the 3rd chapter. And he went back to the old prophets in verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer and die, he hath fulfilled. And he just took a plumb out of the word. And he said, repent ye therefore that you may be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. My books, there should be a period there. I don't know what the original Greek says. It goes by inflection, not by punctuation. My understanding is that's a period. And the next sentence should say, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In other words, there's a time coming, Peter says, down the road. And notice what he says about that time of refreshing, that God will send Jesus Christ after that time of refreshing. That Jesus Christ that was preached unto you and you turned him down, preached by the prophets, brought into manifestation by Almighty God, you killed and crucified, God raised him, put him at his own right hand, and all that amounted to you was preaching. You should have heard sermons. You didn't get anything. But watch. The heavens must retain that person that God raised, until the restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of God, by all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, Brother Branham categorically said, times of refreshing, which the Bible says is a fresh breeze. It's a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. He said it's that great healing revival. So this has to be a great healing revival that is mentioned in the Bible. And set forth by Peter way back there in that year, 33.5 AD. And then it says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, and he's going right back now, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto your brethren like unto me. Him you'll hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now, it'll come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That did not happen. In 1933, even to 1970 A.D., at the time of the destruction of Jerusalem, didn't happen. It's going to happen in the Great Tribulation. When the Jews are purged, the church is purged, and the earth is purged. And this word destroyed is utterly destroyed, identical to Malachi, when Elijah comes at the time of the burning. And our Savior rising with healing in his wings, which Brother Branham said was the rapture. Now, people say, what authority has he? Has, thus saith the Lord, and that picture there proves the authority, which it strange the world recognizes. The head of the FBI documentation, photographs and so on, George J. Lacey, said that's the picture of a supernatural being, the only one in existence. And then he says, yea, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, likewise foretold these things. Now you notice it says, raise up a prophet like unto Moses, and he pinpointed him as Samuel. A man like Samuel. William Branham always referred to Samuel. When did I take your money? When did I tell you wrong? Put your finger on me if you can. You can't do it. I defy you. And they couldn't do it. Like little Chihuahua dogs, nipping and yapping at the feet of the big St. Bernard, or better still, the wolfhound, which is about the biggest one. They continue yap and nip, because that's all they could do. That's all they were good for. Now, I want you to notice, Brother Branham said here, that after this great revival, there would be impersonators. Now, the Bible speaks of those impersonators. Absolutely. We don't have any trouble recognizing that. There's lots of scripture for it. And the book of Acts, the second chapter, Peter speaking at Pentecost looks way down the road, and the Alpha of the Omega end time was, these are not drunken as you suppose, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, but that's spoken by the prophet Joel to come to pass the last days, not the first days, but the last days, although this is the second of the last days coming. I'll pour up my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters prophesy, young men see visions, your old men see dreams, and of my servants and my handmaids the pour in the spirit of those days, and I will show wonders in the heaven above. And it says right here, when there comes the time of that anointing, on those that are the servants of organizations, creeds and dogmas, the lodges, and those that are of God, the great tribulation will instantly start when it's all over. When those two anointings have run out, Son of Man, Son of Perdition, then there'll be the rapture, the tribulation, the coming back with the saints. Now in Timothy, 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Way at the back here. It says, know this, in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, Brother Branham explained perilous times. He said, it's the only time in Scripture that is perilous. And that's because the two spirits are so close together. When Jesus was on earth and confronted by Satan, he simply booted him out of the camp. That was the end of Satan. When his emissaries came, he just cast them out, bound them, and they couldn't do a thing about it. Not so at the end time. The Spirit of God and Satan, who is a spirit, great archangel, spirit being, are diametrically opposed to each other and in confrontation. And as it was in the beginning, where Satan led in the worship of Almighty God, he's allowed to come here, as he was in Judas, the Alpha. And through the name of Jesus, cast out devils, prophesy correctly, speak in tongues and interpret, manifest gifts of healing and faith and everything else, even raise the dead like Judas did. And yet be entirely false seed. A away from everything that is of God and from God, though like the devil, his servants are using everything of God and from God. And they're completely deceived. And the Bible said they are deceived and deceiving. Perilous times. Men lovers of their own selves. That's a young man was. Take up your cross. No way. I love myself. Covetous. He kept on to his money. Boasters. I'm head of the community. All these things I've done. Hey, man, I'm a talk with you. Blasphemer. Stand right there and reject. Blaspheme the God of heaven. And tribulation hasn't even set in. Here's the goodness of Almighty God standing there. God himself here today. The same thing in the blasphemers. Blaspheming the word. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy. So on right down the line. And then it says here in verse 8. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. There you are, impersonators. They did what Moses did up to a point and couldn't go any further. All these guys can discern, but they can't discern 100%. That's what really puzzled me. I found I couldn't discern 100%. Brother Branham set me straight. I was already stopping it anyway. Already gifts and things were departing. It was over. How could something within me say, this is a man you'll listen to if you listen to anybody? And then go on chug along like some old four-cylinder engine with at least 3.5 cylinders out. Trying to get somewhere. 3.5 cylinders. If you did have oil, what good does it do you? Huh? If you had an anointing, what good did it do? Not going anywhere. Just chugging along. Yeah, they're not the little red engines that said I could do it. Or they were, but they didn't. Jannes and Jambres. Look at them. Resisting truth. Now, William Branham, he's the prophet when he discerns. Oh, yeah, he can discern. When it comes to doctrine, don't listen. That happened right here in Ohio, Chautauqua. And I see the same men that claim they believe, don't believe. At least if he's here, and that's the essence of his message, and they turn around and say, he's always been here. Then God has vindicated the same old tired message. They can't understand Brother Branham saying the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. I don't have any time to worry about them. If you can't understand, here are two pieces of paper. One is bigger than the other. One has my scrawly, scrabby writing. The other is by a printout machine. Can you see them? Are they the same? No. 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 Over here in 2 Peter, says the same thing. Peter, after assuring us that what happened upon Mount Transfiguration would become an absolute magnificent reality at the end time, that this one of whom God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell, hear you him. At the end time. Isn't that strange? God said, hear him. Actually, he was saying, hear me. Why did he say, hear him? Because if you heard him, you did hear God. This was the one that said only what God said. Now, if we're his brethren, and we're part of the priesthood, and he's the high priest over us, we ought to say what he's saying today. Because that's the witness and the testimony. And Peter says, after this great manifestation of Scripture fulfilled, when the day star rises in our heart, God speaking, bringing us to Mount Zion, because this is the same as Hebrews 12. The excellent voice from the glory now speaking again through a prophet. It's got to have a prophet. Paul said there's many voices in the air. Tune in. Hi. Hi. I'm listening. You can get your eardrums filled. But Paul said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, and acknowledge the things that I write are the commandments of God. Not anybody else's. Now look, the prophet is in this scene in chapter 1. Peter goes on and said, there were prophets back there. In our hour, there'll be false teachers. Now, he's warning the bride. The bride is fully aware of the false prophets. That is Deuteronomy chapter 13 in contradistinction to Deuteronomy 18, the true prophet indicated by thus saith the Lord. Even Jesus himself said, have I not proven who I am? I say the things before they come to pass, and they come to pass. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? Isn't that what the scripture said? Isn't that what Moses did? All right. You know, Tucker made a car. And the big three knew they had to destroy Tucker. I'm telling you the story as I know it, and there's a film on it. They had to destroy him, or he would have destroyed their business. So they destroyed him. I had a friend who worked for him. Yeah. He told me some of the lies they propagated. They're still propagating them. Didn't they say about Jesus, if we don't get rid of him, we're in trouble? We'll have our place taken away. Yeah, Rome's sustaining us. You're going to say it again? Because they are. They can't afford to say different. They got to have the false teachers in. And now Rome's got a bunch of false prophets. They're the neo-Pentecostals, the charismatics. And the Notre Dame College, it's absolutely true. That a drunken driver evidently ran through the campus. Two boys were hit. One with his legs very mangled, another killed. They simply prayed. The dead rose up, and the other guy walked off. No problem. And their theologian, Jacqueline Ford, says, yes, we speak with tongues. Yes, we prophesy. We're accurate. We've got it. But watch out. Don't come against our theology. A woman. But she can't cook good meals. And she can't make the beautiful dresses our sisters here that are approved of God do. And even if you can't cook good meals and make beautiful dresses, you're still approved. Because your theology is not from man. But it's from God himself. God's own word. Because theology means logos, which is word, and theo, which is God. God's word. But the false teachers come in. Blown up by their false prophets. As I say and say again, I can't understand how so-called believers in this message can go anywhere and listen to a man that tries to discern and wants prayer when Brother Ben says, stay away from that stuff. I believe her name certainly was Bernice Merrick. She lay there dying of cancer in Buffalo. They said, come on, Bernice, let's go to Pentecostal meeting. You could be healed. She said, I'd sooner die than go there. Here's the sister Danielle in the lion's den. Here's a sister Meshachet in the fiery furnace. Not a Riketa. No. Danielle. Yeah, she knew what these others don't know. Damnable heresies, privately gotten, or in club membership, either one. denying the Lord. Just like this rich young man saying no to God. Saying no to the one they worship and talk about his blood and everything else, they said no. And they follow the pernicious ways. What's pernicious always associated with in America? Anemia. The blood has broken down. The blood has lost its power. It's no longer effective for these people. For they've trampled underfoot the blood of the covenant. Not blood. Blood of a covenant. You get what I said? Jesus' blood was not just Jesus' blood. It was blood of a covenant. If you and I dare to do that, we are blasphemers. And we'll be denied by God and destroyed in the lake of fire. Through covetousness. They want to make themselves look good by you. Coming in feign words, make merchandise, sell your soul. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and damnation slumbereth not. At the time the bride wakes up, they wake up. The bride wakes up to her judgment declared and exonerated, the righteous bride of Christ. They don't wake up. They're declared the unholy seed. He talks of them as Balaamites. Who follow a man that was anointed truly to a true prophecy that's still coming to pass. But he's wrong. He died fighting Israel. We could go to Jude and read it. It's the same thing. We go to Hebrews 6. And we find it's the time of the harvest. Where Paul himself said, let's go back and look at it. The sixth chapter. They should have been mature, but they weren't. But there's coming a time when they'll leave the principles of the Logos of Christ, of him having come in flesh. Certainly, because he hasn't come in flesh. Messiah has not come in flesh in the sense of the body of Jesus. The Lamb has not come down. God has come down. Jehovah Elohim has come down. So you don't talk about the flesh of Jesus now. You're talking about God doing what he did in the flesh 2,000 years ago. Doing now in the form of the Holy Spirit in the pillar of fire through a prophet. Like unto Moses and Paul. He said, you lay aside that. We're going to go on to completion. Not laying again those foundations there, see? And he said, we'll do it if God permit, but they couldn't do it because the seventh age hadn't come. The church had to fall on the ground, so to speak, and die like their Lord, as Brother Branham said, then come forth in the stages. When the whole Holy Spirit, God himself, and the whole world, Word, came into view. And then he says, at that time, it's impossible those who were once for all enlightened, seventh message, no more to come. Taste the heavenly gift. Partake of the Holy Ghost. Taste the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Do you realize that you're doing that today by accepting the message that you positively have everything to get you past the resurrection into the millennium? Nobody else has it. Don't count yourself as just one of the throng. To do that, you do yourself an injustice and throw God's great good right back in his face. These people have every manifestation, but they don't have the word. Having fallen away, they cannot be renewed to repentance, the change of mind that gets down into the heart and causes the circumcision where their hearts are right before God. Because they crucified in themselves the Son of God afresh. Now let me ask you a question. Why did they crucify the Son of God in the first place? Because he did the miracles? No, they loved the miracles. Because he came and opened his mouth. And he said contrary to them. And when he said contrary to them, they were condemned. And they'll say, we'll show you who's condemned. And they killed him. And so did Duplessis. The South African Pentecostal that came over here. And he sneered when Brother Branham died. And he said, that man who judged everyone was judged himself. Ha, 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 good joke. A friend of mine phoned me. He's a so-called prophet, Ernie Bojaw. I never mentioned his name before, but it's the truth. And he phoned me. He thought, because he thought I was a lackey of Brother Branham's, and I recognized God and great men, and I served Brother Branham, I now serve him. And he said in his twang, but Brother Bill, God doesn't smear his prophets across the road. I said, he fed them to lions, and their body was dung on the field. I forgot one more phone call. And I say the same thing to everybody in this building here. Don't bother phoning me. Or don't try to talk to me to try to change me. You're too late. I've got nowhere to go. And where you're going, I don't want to go. Because I've been there. Huh? Amen. Do what you want about it. All right, he says, any message that comes in, genuine born of God message, different from the old trend. When divine healing went forth not long ago, did you notice the impersonators followed it? And every one of them right in, but with the organization staying there. If that's the exit, brother, sister, you're supposed to come out of what you're into to get away from it to come into something else. Isn't that what the exodus is all about? Well, you show me where it isn't. And I'll eat it. I'll take the leaves out of my Bible and chomp them right down. Not that I'm hungry, it's just that I'll do it. I got guts to back it up. Might not have the teeth, but I can soak it in water. Chicken soup, preferably. Ice cream or gravy. And I'll chomp her down. You know that I'm not just fooling. I'm putting it in a sarcastic way. It's the truth. Everyone went right back, stayed there. Does anyone know that there had to be a message follow that? Joel said so at the time of the latter rain, the power. God's word manifest in power, the former rain. Which means there's a repeat of what once was. Don't look at the interpolation, the word month there. That's the same as the foolish interpretation, they call it moon. It isn't moon, it's month. And in this case, it's not month. It's as in the first it was. Now, when God repeats, it's over, because verily, verily, that's it. You crucified him the first time, you got away with it. That was for you. The next time you're crucified, you get crucified, not he. Crucify to yourself the Son of God of flesh. You're the ones that get it. Now, doesn't anyone know, does anyone know that there had to be a message follow that? And remember, he'd preached the rapture now, what the shout was. Why, God doesn't entertain us. He attracts our attention with something, and when he attracts our attention, then he's got his message. Huh? Oh, my goodness me. Look. When a man courts a woman, if he has an ounce of brains, he is going to be like Isaac who sent the servant to attract Rebekah. Eliezer brought samples, and you better believe it was the best. The samples contained the best. Huh? Okay, let's read it. For it's impossible for those who are once and for all enlightened taste the heavenly gift. Ooh, boy, there's more coming. Partake of those. Ooh, just a piece. Ooh, boy, look what's coming. And the good word of God. Huh? And the power of the word of God. What's he doing? Attracting the bride. Huh? Oh, it is here, is he not? He's wooing her. Oh, my. He came on the scene, he could read our hearts. Oh, my God has got reins in there. These hearts one day are going to be maneuvered by God. Thing we're crying for, pleading for, hating ourselves because we get it on that. Travel with the speed of thought. Just got a pinch of it this last time. Trying to get our attention. Trying to attract us. Attract us to what? The Word. Because the Word did all this and the Word maintains it. That's the book of Colossians. Look, when he first came on earth and started his ministry, oh, young rabbi. Remember the old saying, 20 to 30 you are idolized. 30 to 40 you are martyrized. 40 to 50, that's a preacher. You are canonized. 50 to 60, time to be glorified. So they took the young man in his prime. Of course, he was 30. And they lionized him. Oh, young rabbi, we want you over here in our church. Oh, William Branham, come on over here. Young prophet. Oh, we want you over here. Come on here. One day he stood up and said, I and my Father are one. Oh, shit. Now he makes himself God. I quote William Branham. Now there's two of them. Quoting him from the abstract. Nevertheless, correct. God the first man. Jesus the second. Adam the third. Quoting William Branham. Question. What do you mean? He has seen the Father. Why, he said, the truth of the matter is, he that has seen me has seen the Father. You want to see him? William Branham said the same thing. I quote William Branham. Holy Baal, there's two gods. There's two gods. He's preaching two gods. John sits here from Baltimore, near Baltimore, two boys. We've got three Johns. You know that? Now we've got three gods. Now those boys aren't John. Andrew and Michael, right? I remember Charles E. Neighbor one day proved this point. Preaching in Canada. That time he wasn't divorced from his wife. When he divorced his wife and married another minister, went right to pot. You could tell it. Didn't know what happened. The anointing of God was off him. He's living in adultery. But under the anointing of God before, preaching on one God, he said, young man, he said, stand up. He said, how many are you and your father? He said, two. Sit down. You're not Jesus Christ. Yet he's a Trinitarian. Yet he understood perfectly, as even Browning the poet did. Is it true that God came down and walked amongst men as a man? Huh? And didn't Paul see even your poets? Said the Cretans are liars and slow bellies. And God knows what. It seems that poets know more than theologians. One day he said, I and my father one. Oh, he makes himself God. He said, I'm the Son of God. Just a minute, then you're equal with God. And he was. See, the Jews knew the law of the firstborn. Yep, they knew that. They knew it. Yeah. He makes himself God. Well, our time is gone. Just as well we're not going on, because the next part I strike, I've got so many notes, I've got so many scriptures, I've got so many thoughts I don't think I can figure it out myself, let alone have you listen and you figure it out. But don't worry, it's there. And I'll tell you why he said certain things, and I'll take you right to scripture. You won't go here as though you don't know. You'll leave here when I preach the next time, God willing. Follow this route. You can do what you want with it. It's your business. But you're good people. You're good sponges. You're a combination of everything I love. You're wonderful magnets, and you're great sponges. How a magnet can pull in water is more than I know. And yet, on the other hand, I do know. Because the moon has magnetic forces, evidently, to pull the tides. Call it gravitational. And a sponge can soak it up. So I commend you, my magnetic sponges. And that's for sure. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Eternal Father, we thank you for the time we have together going into your word. Knowing, Father, that we speak the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, because this is the repeat of the Apostle Paul, the gospel that judges the world by one Christ Jesus, given by the same God, the same pillar of fire interpreting that gave it to Paul, putting in language which we can understand, because the prophet had thus said the Lord, we know it is true. We don't have to doubt and wonder. We can just take what he said and go right to the scripture, and there it is. Not just what Jesus did, just what Paul did, and yet today, the simplicity and reality, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand myself. I just know there's a perverse spirit in the world. I know that your scripture tells all of this and puts it right on the devil. But it is still difficult, Lord, for us to come to the place where it's just hands off anymore. No matter what anybody does, this is it. Because, and we understand that, because if Jesus himself, that only begotten Son, could stand in amazement and wonder at unbelief, then if we do the same thing, wonder at unbelief, and wonder at people twisting everything that is said, just like they did back there in, when you were in the flesh of the only begotten Son, and it is certainly easy to believe, although we do find it hard to believe, be done the same way today. May we forgive, Lord, and a great peace of God come into our hearts and minds by the Holy Ghost, and the same love of God through circumcised hearts stand up and be counted for you, and yet in the same Spirit of Christ. And so live our lives in the grace of Almighty God. No matter what happens, whether you live or die, we are the Lord's. And so we thank you this morning for your great grace that has been vindicated, the truth that has been vindicated, everything vindicated of which we're now partaking in little pinches and slices. going right on like that Roman candle to the fullness and on under the seventh seal. How wonderful to know that, Lord. Let your people know that this is just the tiny little first mouthful, as it were, of sitting at your table of the future. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory, and may we love him even unto death itself. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.